You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin. This is episode 132, and it's the first episode of the new year, 2021. And because of that, I'm going to do something different this episode. Because it's the beginning of the year and people start thinking about New Year's resolutions, and maybe they don't call them resolutions, but you start thinking about your shit. You start thinking about, like, what do I need to do? And I'm sure that there are a lot of people who have escalated their drinking or drug use for 2020. It just happened. So they're like, I need to get this shit taken care of. I think I'm going to, you know, so there's probably, I think that there's going to be people who are looking to quit to get clean and sober. Because it's just the pandemic and the lockdown has escalated their usage and moved up the timetable of their addiction, or moved them into addiction when they're like, I didn't have a problem with addiction. I currently have a problem with addiction, you know, or something like that. So because of that, I thought the first episode that I would basically talk to you guys, whoever's listening, in the same way, some of the same conversations that I've had when people have contacted me to find out, you know, hey, I want to get sober. What the fuck do I do? In fact, I may just name that this episode that. I want to be clean and sober. What the fuck do I do? So I thought I would just do that for this episode. If that doesn't interest you, move along. But you can, you know, but it might be informative. It might not. This may be a waste of everybody's time, including mine. However, you know, and this is just from my perspective, obviously. This is not that this is how you do it kind of a deal. But I just thought I would talk to you guys for a little bit. Hopefully provide some kind of guidance. And if not, you know, it's a half hour of your life. So when I get contacted by people, the first thing that I do now is I give them shit for not contacting me normally because they're friends of mine. I'm like, really? This is when you contacted me? You didn't ask me how, you don't give a shit how I am? You just want to know? No, I don't say that. I think that. Actually, I don't anymore. I'm actually, I respect my friends giving me space. Sorry, I was bringing my shit into this. I made this about me. I apologize. Let's get back on track. You're the one who is listening because you might need help. All right, sorry. But okay, seriously, what I do ask them is when they contact me, because a lot of time I get contacted in the middle of the night via Facebook Messenger or some kind of messenger or some kind of text. That's how I get contacted. They're like, hey, do you have a minute to talk? And immediately I know what they're going to ask me. Because I'm at an age that I don't get you up messages often, especially as a married man. It's probably a good thing. The first thing I ask people when they're, you know, they're like, hey, what do you think I should do? The first thing I ask them is, okay, at this moment, are you fucked up? Do you have a buzz at all? If you have a buzz, or so if you're listening to this and you currently have a buzz on, or you're fucked up and you're wanting to know how you could get clean and sober, the first thing you need to do is come back and listen to this when you're not fucked up. That's what I tell people, is like, if you want to have a conversation about this and you've got a buzz, I'm relatively sober. No. If you are sober, I mean, if you're currently sober, then we can talk, because it's a waste of everyone's time. It's a waste of yours. It's a waste of mine, because a lot of times what happens is you'll go through the conversation like, okay, well, this is what I did. what's going on and blah, 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 blah. And they go through it and everything. And we talk and, you know, give them good information. And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the next day they sober up and they go, nah, never mind. Nah, forget it. Nah. I was just going, you know, it's a moment of clarity. You know, I was kind of alone and I was coming down at the end of my, you know, fucking drinking binge. And never mind. So let's, you know, just to make sure you're serious, you know, make sure that this is what you want. You know, once the hangover is over, if you're talking about drinking, or once you're, you know, you're in your right mind and you're thinking about it, then come listen to this. All right. Are you back? You're back. Okay. Thanks for doing that. It's just important, you know, it's important to be in the right state of mind. And it's like, well, what the fuck do I do? Well, the first thing you do is don't do it anymore. No, that's, but seriously, if you're done, you need to get the drugs or the alcohol out of your apartment or house, wherever you're staying. You need to get it out of there first. So I paid a lot for it. Well, then do it all and then come back? No, I don't know what you want to do here. You know, but the first thing you have to do is get the immediate, easiest temptation out of the fucking way. So you get it out of there. The other thing when you're, because it's real easy, because this is all in your head. Everything, your addiction, it's all, you know, it's a brain thing. It's a brain disorder that we have with our addictive personality, obviously. It's all in your head. However, if you have a physical addiction to this, if it's heavy, if it's a fucking heavy thing and you're going to have to detox, you may want to do some research about what you're taking at the level that you're taking before you attempt to detox at home. Like I drank for a long time, but I did not have the DTs. I didn't have a problem when I detoxed. When I just, you know, it didn't happen. I went through heavy withdrawals, of course, when I quit heroin. And if there's anybody listening to this, is their first ever podcast of listening to me, I used to be a heroin addict and used to be an alcoholic, and now I'm retired from both. So I was an alcoholic, then I became a heroin addict, then I quit the heroin when I went to rehab, and then shortly after that I returned to alcohol. Then I quit alcohol about a year after that. I went to jail for 6 months. Okay. Because I violated my probation. Anyway. But I've been sober since then. So I've been sober, clean and sober for over 8 years. All right. So detoxing is going to be a bitch. Now, this is assuming that you're not a heavy benzo user, because going off of quitting benzos cold turkey when you're a heavy benzo user is, now that's like the scariest. That's not like the most health risks of all of it. Also, if you're a heavy alcoholic, if you drink a lot of booze, like a lot daily. You know, the thing is, at this point, if you're coming to me, you probably have a good idea whether or not you're at a health risk for stopping. I mean, you know. But if you're going to detox at home, you got to plan on it. So if you're going to quit and you're really bad off to the fact that whatever you're taking or the level that you're taking is going to physically affect you, then you got to plan for it. You know, it's like, I got to quit. Well, yeah, but you also have to plan for it so that you don't lose your job or whatever else. Now, that is actually the one thing about the benefit of the pandemic, is that there's a good chance that you're not doing shit. I mean, that you're working from home or you're not working, that you're in a position like, I could detox right now. And that's good. You need to. So what I was going to say is that because this is a mental thing, this is all in your head. You have to make a conscious effort at the, you know, starting at the very beginning that you're like, I'm going to fucking do this. All right. For real. You can't go, I think I'll try this sobriety thing out. You can't do that shit. That's not, you know, it's not going to work. So you have to like buckle down and realize it's, you know, I may fail, but I'm going to get right back on it. We're going to do this. So that's an important step to really go, I'm going to fucking do this. So once you mentally prepare and decide that, you're like, all right, I'm emotionally, I'm going to make my rock bottom lame. This is my rock bottom. Let's go. So you get rid of your drugs and alcohol in the apartment / home, whatever you got, wherever you're living, the hole that you're living in. You prepare for the detox. You'll want to, you know, Google is your friend. Lots of, you know, there's so many, as much garbage as on the internet, there's so many resources. All right. So look about detoxing at home. Make sure that, you know, because you're staying hydrated is the most important part of detox. So you're going to look for like Pedialyte and that kind of stuff. Broth, vitamins. Your vitamin C and B12 and all that shit. So you're going to, you know, this is kind of weird because you might be at a spot that you're wanting to get sober because you ran out of money. So it's weird. As a drug user, it's really weird to, why am I spending this money that I could be buying drugs with on fucking vitamins and broth and soup and this fucking, what is Pedialyte? It's good. Anyway, but if you're going to do it right, that's what you do. So you want to tackle that. And like I said, Google on that. And I don't have any more advice about detoxing because I didn't have to. My times, ultimately, like the end result before getting sober, I was fully detoxed. Because I had such a bad drug addiction that I was strung out all the time. So I was like quitting. I was like going through withdrawals like every week to the point where they weren't that bad. You know, I got so used to them until finally like, well, that was the end of it. I run out of money. I guess I'm going to, you know, move in with my parents and, you know, and other lovely things before I end up going to rehab. So that's what I tell people. I'm like, all right, you're going to have to really look this up if you're going to have to detox. Most people are not. You know, the detox is not going to be, you're not a health risk. It's more going to be a mental thing, especially drinking, especially if you've developed a drinking problem because of the pandemic and you're being at home. The hardest part about this, like I can't imagine. I'm so glad that I got sober before this shit happened, because one of the biggest problems of getting sober is that they want you to change people, places, and things. And it's like, well, I can't because I'm always here. How can I, you know, the people, I can change the people. I'm not around them. So that's easy. My bad influences I haven't been hanging out with. So really, my only bad influence is me and the cat. So we'll get to the changing people, places, and things in just a second. So the very first step is find a meeting. It'll get you out of the house. Hopefully, it'll be find a safe meeting. Hopefully they're doing social distancing and they figured it out by this point. There are also meetings In this particular podcast episode, in the description, I'm going to post a bunch of links that I got from a New York Times article that had collected a lot of online resources. They posted it once and at the end of March, and they haven't returned back to it, even though it's more important than ever. I haven't seen anybody bring up any of these resources, so I'm going to post them in there. But it's links that can help you find meetings. It's like the links for like NA.org for Narcotics Anonymous, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous. You can also find these by Google, but they'll have different other places. And I'll read some of them off in just a second, but what you're going to want to do first off is find an immediate meeting, and probably the most accessible is going to be AA. There's going to be AA meetings. Now, some of you are going to have an objection to going to an AA meeting. One of these objections is it's going to be depressing. Those meetings are depressing. Yeah. Yeah, they are. They can be, especially from the outside. But what do you want to go to, a hug fest? Do you think like a rainbow celebration is going to fucking get you sober? Yeah, it's kind of tough. But that's what people go through. People go to meetings to get this shit out, to talk. And that's what you got to do. You got to listen to other people's who fucked up their lives and are working through some shit to make you think about, because maybe you'll relate to them. So, yeah, it's not going to be fun. These are not fun. It's just the truth. Another objection is, well, you know, they want to do higher power. Yeah. So what? So find a higher power. But worry about that. Don't make that be your trip up for getting sober. Because the whole idea of finding a higher power is the you know, me by myself, my own self-control, my own willpower. I can't get sober on my own. So I've got to like psychologically understand and put my faith in something else bigger than me. Whether it be, you know, the universe or like the community or, you know, the support network around you who are going to help you get clean and sober. You can make that your higher power. You can make, you don't have to make this be a theological discussion. This is about you getting clean. This is about you stopping fucking your life up. And that's another thing people bring up. They're like, I don't want to be associated with a 12-step program. It's weird because it used to be the stigma of it. Used to be a stigma of admitting that you had a drinking problem. Like that was the stigma. But now the stigma is of being in a 12-step program. It's like, oh, it was one of those people. Because some people, AA people are so obnoxious that that's the new stigma now, which is hilarious to me and it's a little bit. But that's not that's neither here nor there, and that's for another episode. But the thing about it is that the idea of, you know, oh, I don't want to tarnish my reputation by being associated with. Let me just clue you in on something. If you have as big of a fucking problem as you know, to the point where you're wanting to find out how to get clean and sober, your reputation is probably already fucked. You may not know it, because you can't see outside of yourself. But people know. Your reputation is already on the line. It's not going to be soiled by being associated with a 12-step program. Like a 12-step program association is not going to fuck up your reputation any more than your self-destructive behavior is already. So cut the shit and quit making excuses. You're the one who wanted to do this. This is what you have to do. You should go to a meeting first. Like, it doesn't matter. You're not committing to it. You're not going, well, this is it. Because that's the thing. You want to go to a meeting so that you can meet somebody out there, so that you can talk to somebody who's gone through this shit or who is currently going through this shit, so you can relate, because there's strength in numbers and that kind of community. If there's a problem, if you don't want to go to a physical meeting, there are online Zoom meetings. There are online meetings that you can look up. And that's the thing, is that I wanted to read off. So even though there is AA and there's NA for Narcotics Anonymous, there's also Smart Recovery at smartrecovery.org, which is a abstinence-based international organization that uses cognitive behavioral therapy toolkit, and that has a directory of online meetings. That's one. Recovery Dharma is a group that does recovery, but it's more they use Buddhist practices and principles to support individuals in recovery. I'm going to provide that link. There's Women for Sobriety, Life Ring. There's one group called Moderation Management. Good luck with all that shit. But you know, there's some people who just want to moderate their drinking and bring it down, who don't feel like they have a problem. They feel like then maybe it's going out of control, but they don't want to quit. See if that works. The thing is that I don't think it works for a lot of people, but never say never. Maybe they'll figure it out. You know, we're evolving. Maybe we'll finally evolve and get to help people moderate their drinking without having to completely quit. Just most people that I know that have a problem, that's never worked. Also, here's some, this is, like I said, this will all be in the description. There are also apps because it's a new era. There are free apps for recovery. There's one called Connections. There's one called I Am Sober. And then there's one called Sober Grid. I don't know. There's also resources for those who support people in recovery. So like family and friends. So like Families Anonymous, Al-Anon, Smart Recovery Friends and Family, and Narnanon, which is a dumb name, but I'm sure it's great. All right, so like I said, I'm going to post those resources in the description of the podcast, this particular episode. But that's the thing, is you have to go to a meeting immediately when you're ready to start, because you need that support to get started. From there, after you attend a meeting, either virtually or in person, from there you can start getting information and then decide if you're going to go to a different group, you know, because you want to check out different types of meetings, because there's different types. Sometimes I ask people, how old are you, or how old do you feel? Because younger people, or people who some would describe as immature. No, I don't know. Young at heart kind of people, I know, prefer Narcotics Anonymous. Even if they've got a problem with alcohol, they'll go to Narcotics Anonymous because there tends to be younger people at NA than at AA. I know a lot of people who go to CA meetings. I've known people who went to CA meetings who didn't really have a, you know, alcohol was a problem. Cocaine was just also a problem, but mainly the alcohol. But they go to CA. It's a matter of, you just got to find out what meetings you're comfortable with, and the only way you can go is to attend and find out, oh, I like this community. It's like finding a church. You know, what religion, you know, finding a community or finding a group that you like. It's going to take time, but you just go to meetings and you just try to discover who do you feel comfortable around. And while you're also doing that, since you can't change people, places, and things, people's not a problem, pandemic, you can't change places because you're not really going anywhere. And how do you change the place where you live? Well, you can redecorate, I guess. You can move stuff around. Change your habits, like don't try to commit to a bunch of different like resolutions or stuff. Like, since I'm getting sober, I'm also going to lose weight and change how I eat and all these other things all at once. Now you can get started on that because you're going to have a lot of time, and you need to fill that void that getting wasted was for you. You're going to have a lot of time, and you're like, fuck, I got to. Fine. So you're going to need to look for some habits, man. You're going to need to look for some healthier habits, or at least maybe not healthier, but at least not as self-destructive. You're going to have to replace that shit with new shit. So just don't overcommit, because the first thing you got to do is, you know, it's the getting sober is the hard part. I mean, that's the, you know, and staying sober. Then you can work on, like, I'm going to start jogging. I know a lot of people who threw their self into jogging. You know, that's what they did. And they just ran the shit out of it. They just ran the shit out of shit. And they did, you know. They became obsessed with working out. I don't know. You got to find your thing. But you have to understand, you know, if you're anti-AA, you're like, I tried it once, it didn't work for me. Here's the problem with this, because this is all in your head. I went to a bunch of AA meetings and a bunch of NA meetings because of probation, rarely because I wanted to. There at the end, I started going because I wanted to. However, I convinced myself that I was too smart for AA and NA. I'm too smart for the 12-step program. I'm like, I figured this out. I'm too smart for it. I know why it works. The problem with doing that is that I instead had to do it the hard way, because I didn't ultimately go through a 12-step program. The rehab I went for heroin was a 12-step rehab that also used cognitive behavioral therapy. It used both. So I technically did that. For the alcohol part, I ended up going to another, like, I went to jail for 6 months because I got arrested and they revoked my probation. And then 5 months of that 6 month stint was me going to a treatment program in jail, which was used cognitive behavioral therapy. So it was, that was not a 12-step program. But that was the thing, is that my program ended up being incarceration. So unless you want that to be an option, you may want to consider a 12-step program. You may want to go, hey, this works for a lot of people. But you have to convince yourself that the program you pick is going to work. You have to have faith in it for it to work. And keep not using, not drinking. You're just going to have to, but you're going to have faith in what you choose. One thing I will say, if you do go through a 12-step program and you're going to look for a sponsor, somebody that's going to give you assignments and keep you, you know, accountable and all this, somebody direct, you may be tempted to go for somebody who has the most clean time, the most sobriety. You know, ooh, that person's been, you know, sober X amount of years. I may have to go. I'm going to say don't do that. I'm going to suggest personally that you find a sponsor that's been sober maybe 1 year, 1 to 3 years. The reason that, because you're looking for immediate help. So you need somebody who's made it at least a year, but who's still fresh in the program, who's still fresh with recovery and sobriety, because they need help giving you, like, being responsible for you, but also it's still fresh for them. It's still them being newly sober and barely coming out of the haze. That is still fresh on their mind. They're going to relate to you better. At some point, as you go through it, you start forgetting how it was. People kind of lose touch with newbieism, with the newbies. They're like, oh, I remember, but they don't. Because I feel it lose, you know, I've been sober 8 years and I can feel that I'm in a different position in being sober than I was my first few years. And I think it's important to have somebody who still can fully relate to you. You know, 1 to 2 years versus 10 to 20 years of sobriety. You know, because a lot of people just, you know, they've got, you know what, I got it. I'm on my own. So that's what I would suggest. But this is basically what I tell people. I'm laying out your first steps into it. That's it. You gotta find habits. You gotta get rid of the drugs and the alcohol around you. Really convince yourself that you're gonna do this shit. And then go to a meeting immediately. While you're looking for, oh, what's right for me? Am I gonna be a Buddhist sobriety guy? Am I gonna be a, it doesn't matter. Go to a meeting while you figure that shit out and figure out who you are. And, you know, fill your time with something to do. Keep yourself busy and keep in communication with your support network. I don't have a support network. Go to a meeting and get one. All right? But that's what I got. Check out the links in the description of this episode. And Google a lot of shit. Look it up. Put some effort into it. Don't do my program. Don't try to make it to, you know, not everybody can make it to 40 and by not dying and then ultimately decide to quit as you're walking into jail for 6 months. It's not the best program. It worked for me. Like, it really reinforced my decision. And then I developed my own program once I got out after being clean for 6 months, you know, with a little help from Travis County. So anyway, good luck to you. Thanks for stopping by. This has been the Yes. We'll go back to normal shit next week on the next podcast, but I appreciate it. This has been the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Raven. Later. Back down to earth again. The cold is creeping deep inside. Disconnect the telephone.